This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Food and travel. They go hand in hand. And chances are, if you're a fan of Heritage Radio Network, you love them both. Between April 10th and 24th, we have six incredible food and travel experiences up for auction at charitybuzz.com. Go on an underground food tour of New Orleans with a rocket scientist. Get your hands on VIP passes to Feast Portland, or enjoy a ranch-to-table experience in wine country. Four of the experiences include hotel stays at some of the most iconic properties across the country, including the newly reopened Hotel Claremont in Atlanta. Now's your chance to win the ultimate Bourbon and Beyond weekend in Lexington, or take in a Latin food tour of New York's outer boroughs. You'll eat, drink, explore, and relax, all while supporting Heritage Radio Network. Help us keep the lights on and the mics hot. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/auction and bid now.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you sun in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte. And my co-host...
And I'm Souther Teague.
Where are you, Souther?
I'm here.
Oh, hey. You just
I'll stop now. Sorry.
Souther's in Seattle right now. And I hope he's having a good time out there. We're here. It's a sunny day in Brooklyn. And I'm really happy to have one of my really great old buddies in town. In Bushwick. He moved to New Jersey. But he's still around New York City. So today I'm really happy to announce my guest. We used to bartend together back in the day at Prime Meats. He used to bartend at PDT, amongst other places. Went to distillation school in Scotland. Got a crazy CV. Worked for New York Distilling Company. Actually, last time he was here on the show, he was with Alan Katz of New York Distilling Company and running the Shanty. Now he is What's your official title?
Yeah, so I started a year and a half ago, and we were quote unquote key account reps. We were cars, and now I think they've changed the title. We are premium account specialists.
That's what they should have called you that in the beginning. Premium, man. This is my buddy Nate Dumas. Welcome back to the show.
Hi guys, thanks.
Yeah, man. So, dude, you're working with some of my favorite whiskeys. I love Wild Turkey.
Thanks, man.
And it's like a big part of your job is Wild Turkey. Obviously, yeah. It's like Grupo Campari, so you do with Campari and Aperol and Braulio and Cinzano. Like you got like all these great brands that are super iconic. Ray and Nephew, that's yours?
Yep. Yeah. Appleton Estate.
Dude, you got them all, man.
I don't take anything for granted. I think I got the job because I just gushed about how much I love these brands. I mean, I was sitting there with my now boss, Reagan O'Conn, and I couldn't help but just talk about how much I've always loved Wild Turkey, Appleton Estate, Ray Nephew, and of course, like the entire Italian portfolio. It almost goes without saying after tending bar for as many years as I have.
Well, I mean, like, especially as a bartender, you develop a passion, an allegiance, if you will, like to certain brands. Yeah. And like, then I think a lot of consumers don't really understand like how a lot of brands are connected or like under one umbrella.
Yeah.
And then you start getting into it and you realize like, damn, this is a really fucking awesome portfolio.
Yeah, totally.
Like Infinium has Fernet Branca and Carpano, you know, that's a pretty heavy hitting crew too, you know, like
totally.
And then you've got Wild Turkey, and I mean, like, you can make Boulevardiers all damn day, you know?
All damn day, man. No, the Campari portfolio is so much fun. I mean, these brands have so much history, and I was, you know, thinking about all of this stuff on my way in today, and...
today, you don't normally think about it.
Well, I don't sit on the bus and ponder these things necessarily. But really, you know, like I moved to New York 12 years ago, and I was lucky enough to get on at Pegu Club, and like really early on, that's the first time I remember really tasting wild turkey, specifically in regards to the 101 rye, and just feeling like this is what I want rye whiskey to taste like. You know, there are many great rye whiskeys out there, but I very specifically remember at that stage tasting Wild Turkey 101 rye and being like, this is what I want. This is what I want this whiskey to taste for. And I don't say that because I work for the brand now. I say that because, like, that's the honest
truth. I remember, like, long before you worked for the brand, like, back, I mean, dude, you've worked at some of the most iconic cocktail bars in New York City, like Mary Queen of Scots. You know?
May she rest in peace.
Yeah. But, like, we were, damn, that was a deep cut right there. That wasn't around for very long. That place was cool, though.
It was a good spot. We had an insane team there. TJ Lynch.
Yeah.
Jim Kearns.
Yeah.
Jay Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Myself. I'm leaving out some others. Maxime.
Yeah.
It was a good crew.
It was gnarly, man. Yeah. And I remember, I think we were hanging out doing something the day that you had to go in for training. And then you were like, I got to train there tonight, but bar's open. Want to come hang out? I was like, I will go with you to your training shift. Nice. And I think we were actually at a whiskey tasting like right before that.
Yeah. What year was that?
2012, maybe.
Okay.
The end of the world.
It was a while ago.
But yeah, I remember. Not to digress, but yeah, we were working at Prime Meats together, and I had Wild Turkey 101 there because I was like, I fucking love Wild Turkey 101. It's like, this is like real whiskey.
Yeah.
And there's always been in my life, it's like drinking like Wild Turkey and Old Crow and like Eagle Rare. I have a bird theme apparently. Yeah. But
there's kind of a bird theme in whiskey. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, sure. Like the famous grouse.
Yep.
Yep. The list goes on. But remember, that was like one of the first like whiskeys that you and I had together that we kind of bought it and we were like, yeah, all right. I was like, I like this dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and Thomas Waugh was working there. Thomas Waugh, he just left Death & Company, and the three of us were working there at the same time, and we all agreed. We're like, this is just a great whiskey. I think there's like so much like personal history with it. I mean, the brand's been around for a very long time, but like it's always something that I've seen like, you know, in the liquor cabinet.
Yep.
Like in my family's houses, you know, or like other people's houses. It's like, it's iconic and classic, you know?
I totally agree. And I've said this before, but like, I think of like Wild Turkey, like I think of Gibson guitars and Harley Davidson.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like really like, kind of like brawnier than usual and very American and just classically so. It's interesting being on the selling end of Wild Turkey now, because I've always been such a fan, but you encounter other people's perceptions. And when you're out there selling, you know, you go into like a nice restaurant, and for them, their perception of Wild Turkey is that, I mean, like Wild Turkey's always been 101. It's always been stronger than usual.
Yeah.
And I think that there's like a period there where, you know, Wild Turkey was perceived as just like, if you were drinking this 101 proof whiskey, you were like a crazy man. You were drinking really hard, and the word wild's in the name. So I feel like, exactly. But,
and turkey. You
know, exactly.
I remember my grandma calling me a little turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's kind of really punk rock, like from
it has a reputation. Yeah. Right. It's like I'm going to be listening to Pantera and listening and drinking some wood Wild Turkey
while listening to Pantera.
Yeah.
Cowboys from Hell.
But that to me works because I respond to that sort of, but also at the end of the day, it's a hunting reference. It was Austin Nichols in, it's always been made in Kentucky, but actually Austin Nichols was a New York City guy. And I mean, we can back up and go through the history of the distillery that gets us to this point if we want, but it was in the 40s that he had this kind of sample of whiskey that was aged a little longer and was bottled a little stronger, and he took it hunting with his friends, a turkey hunt, and they really liked it, and that was kind of the birth of the brand there.
You know what, man? Okay, so I just want to... I don't want to get too speculative, but I think that's what really, like, attracts me to the whiskey itself and the brand and, like, the kind of overall idea of what it is. Because, like, it's been aged longer, it's stronger, it's fucking wild, man.
Yeah.
You know? And, like you're saying, we both dig rock and roll and, like, hunting and fishing... and like motorcycles and stuff, you know, like, yeah. It's like, it's a little bit ballsier, but you know, the funny thing to me is like those things kind of take time to appreciate, like, and you appreciate them more as you get a little bit older. So like anything that's aged a little bit longer, you're like, all right, well, cool. I'm growing with this. I remember like when I was younger, I would drink a lot of, well, not a lot. I mean, like it was easier for me to like take shots of like something a little bit smoother, like an Irish whiskey or something like that. But like also, I don't really do a lot of shots these days anyway.
We're getting older.
But there's also some weird connotation with that, with like certain brands like Wild Turkey, like where a lot of like people from our generation, they think that it's like an old man's whiskey. And I'm like, if that's an old man's whiskey, then I can't wait to get older. You know, honestly, I'm being completely truthful here, man. It's like,
well, you know, that's an interesting thing to dive into, because Wild Turkey, if it's an old man's whiskey, it's only because it's been around for so long. And, I mean, I don't know what, you know, this hypothetical person would consider a young man's whiskey, but...
Fireball.
There's a good chance... there's a good chance that it's coming from a brand that is buying barrels from a big distillery in Indiana,
sure,
that just sells barrels, and they don't have
a history.
And
there's a made-up story
that exactly
tells the brand.
Yeah.
But, like, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
It's like... I honestly, like, Another Bird, Old Crow. I mean, that was the first whiskey I ever had, and I got it. It was like something that my grandma had stashed in her in her closet. And you know what? To this day, I still like Old Crow.
And I think that you and I are similar in that we will appreciate quality wherever it comes from.
Of course.
But also there's a deep respect for brands that have been around forever.
Absolutely.
And
like Heritage Radio Network's been around. They actually invented radio.
They invented
true story.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been doing this? I mean, I think I was on here 6 years ago. You must have been doing this for on a decade now.
No, it's almost 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say that's closing in. but I mean, the distillery that became Wild Turkey, I mean, it dates back to the 1800s. I was texting with Bruce Russell, so third generation Russell, trying to get to the bottom of this. And it sounds like the original distillery was the old Moore Distillery, became the old Hickory Distillery, then in 1891 became the old Rippey Distillery.
Oh.
Then I think sometimes in the 40s it was renamed the Boulevard Distillery. I don't know why they'd call it the Boulevard, but
we should probably like.
There's not a lot of boulevards in Tyrone, Kentucky. But then it was in 71. So the brand dates back to the 40s, and then in 1971, Austin Nichols Company bought the distillery, and it was officially the Wild Turkey Distillery.
Cool.
But I mean, they've been distilling on this site, and actually, I know we want to.
We should probably get...
Let's get Bruce on the phone.
Yeah, let's get him on the phone.
All right.
Yeah. You know, before we do, like, while we do that, there's a lot of... Some of my favorite things about Wild Turkey is that you've got, like, things like Rare Breed, which we had a little bit of earlier.
Yep.
Which every year it seems like the proof goes up.
That's a fact.
And it's one of my favorite whiskeys.
And that's one of the cool things about it. It changes, you know, year to year, and a new batch is going to have a slightly different flavor profile. Yeah. And I'm really loving the new batch, 116.8 proof.
Yeah, 116.8.
It's not crazy. Joking around.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it would behoove you to, like, you know, for all the whiskey collectors out there, you know, to every time one of those new releases comes out, you know, definitely grab it and taste them side by side, because there's, I mean, you're still tasting Wild Turkey, but there's definitely a difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have one bourbon mash bill and one rye mash bill. And so everything that comes out of Wild Turkey, if it tastes a little different, it's a product of blending. And at this stage, it's Eddie Russell who's behind that. And I think he's just doing an amazing job kind of creating some new flavor profiles. And I think, you know, case in point is the newest Master's Keep, which was called Decades this year. It's a blend of barrels 10 to 20 years old. And we were on the cover of Whiskey Advocate, the number 3 whiskey. And we can taste that whenever you're ready.
I think
Damon,
we should. We should. Absolutely. You know what? Actually, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break and let's get Bruce on the phone.
Let's do it.
And then, so when we come back, can we call him?
I've got his number.
Cool. That'd be amazing. Actually, you know what? Let's pour some during the break. And then when we get back, hopefully we'll have Bruce Russell on the phone.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Awesome. Cool. Back in a moment. You're listening to Speakeasy. We got Nate DeMont from Wild Turkey and Grip of Campari. And pour yourself a glass of whiskey so you can join us when we get back.
Well, she's her own. She's her own female. She's her own female. That's why I like her. I like her a lot. And she don't know that she's her own female. She's her own female. And she don't know. That's why I like her a lot. I caught a cab to the cafe to play the charming young man. That's when she told me, tie me up and cuff me to the window. You know how I like the riptide. You know I like to ride a wave so slowly as the ocean patrol be rolling by. Pretty girl, to get in and get out. You say you won't be much fun tonight, but I doubt it, I doubt it a lot. Dirty, dirty girl, you know that I'm on the run. You say you won't be much fun tonight, but I doubt it, cause poetry is dead. I've got a month only to get into poetry.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. I got my buddy Nate in the studio. We're talking Wild Turkey. And he actually just poured us over the break a very, 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 very cool whiskey. This is the Wild Turkey Decades. This is part of the Master's Keep?
It's part of the Master's Keep collection. Master's Keep started, I think, 2 years ago. And I think we're basically going to be doing one release per year. Pretty limited. The first release was the oldest straight whiskey that has come out of Wild Turkey. It was a straight 17-year Wild Turkey bourbon. This came out last year, a blend of barrels 10 to 20 years old.
Hence decades.
And, like,
this is
I don't know. I'd like to hear what Bruce has to say, but I feel like this is, like, representative of what Eddie's doing right now and why what Eddie's doing right now is really cool. So blending some really old barrels with some, like, significantly younger barrels in a way that's kind of unique and leading to some unique flavor profiles. And I think he's being very successful, and I think the press that we're getting as a result stands to that point.
Cool. Do we have Bruce on the phone?
Yeah, sure do.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey, Bruce.
How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. We're just sipping on some nice whiskey here in the studio. How's it going down there?
It's going great. I'm sipping on some myself.
Perfect. That's how it's supposed to go.
That's right.
Cool, man. Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit, Nate, do you want to talk to Bruce about the...
Yeah, so Bruce, I was texting back and forth with Brand Team this morning, and we got the green light to go ahead and release, for the first time ever, details on the new Master's Keep that's coming out in a couple of months.
So we got the scoop?
You got the scoop.
Nice! Yeah,
got the scoop.
Cool, thank you. Cool, lay it on us,
so,
man.
So Master's Keep is really, you know, my dad's pet project. Wild Turkey for the longest time was really known as being this old-fashioned, authentic kind of traditional brand, and I still like to think of it that way, but when my grandfather started in 54, he thought the only thing he was ever going to get to make was Wild Turkey 101, and that's kind of what he pushed. He was Mr. Consistency. He was Mr. 8-year-old 101. He liked, you know, really one age, one style, and one type of whiskey. Dad's a little bit different. He's more of a tinkerer, more of an experimenter. He's a little bit more involved on the science aspects. And so, you know, he likes to play around with different finishes, different ages. And for the longest time, he just got told no, because the bourbon industry really wasn't ready for anything but baseline products. Thankfully, with the bourbon boom, now Dad can release some of the stuff that he's really been passionate about over the years, which is different ages, different blends, different kind of finishes. I heard Nate talk about the 17-year-old, which was the first one we did. The one last year was a blend of 10-year-old bourbon all the way to 20-year-old bourbon. And so he wanted to do something even a little bit more different for his third release. And so we're going to actually do a sherry finished product. The new one, this is the first time we've ever really talked about it publicly. It's going to be called Master's Keep Revival. It's going to be a blend of 12 and 15-year-old whiskeys. And it's actually going to be finished for about 2 months in Oloroso sherry cask.
That sounds amazing.
It's completely different than anything that Dad's ever done. It's completely different than anything I've ever tasted from the distillery. But it's turned out to be to maybe be my favorite Master's Keep we've done.
Very cool. That's a 12 to 15 year old whiskey finished off in Oloroso sherry cask, correct?
Yeah, we wanted to do it only at 15 years old, but the 15 year old actually had a little too much oak if we did it all 15, so we weren't really getting the sherry flavor that we wanted. It really wasn't changing the whiskey enough. So we added a little bit of a younger whiskey, some 12-year-old in there that was a little bit sweeter, a little less heavy on the oak. And that blend together in the Oloroso sherry, it turned out to be very, very delicious.
You know, what's funny to me is when you talk about putting a younger whiskey in there, you're talking about 12-year-old whiskey. that's pretty hilarious to me because so many newer distilleries, you know, they're talking months sometimes rather than, you know.
well, we don't do anything at Wild Turkey less than 6 years old that's going in our straight bourbon. But to be honest, we really don't like stuff much older than 15 unless it's for a specific project. The way we age our stuff, we think our best stuff comes in about 7 to 15 years. And that's normally what we play around. Bourbon can get too old, but we really don't like young bourbon either. I've tasted some really exciting stuff coming out of the new distilleries and a lot of these craft guys. There's a lot of good young juice out there, but for us, we think our best stuff is really right around 8, 10, 12, on up to 15 years old.
I can agree with that, absolutely. I think I've always thought that, somewhere around 15 years is like the sweet spot if you want an older bourbon. I feel like rye can age a lot longer, you know? And I feel like rye kind of scoots right along with like scotch where, you know, you can age it for quite a bit longer and get more out of it if you'd like. But bourbon, I feel like it starts to fall apart after, around when you just get over
it does,
like 20
and
years.
So rye, you have to be careful with. The bad part of a barrel and the reason why, you know, you don't age stuff super long is your flavor profile, like if you're looking at age, from about starting at about 6 years for us and for most people at about 4 to 6, on up to about 10 to 12, you're really looking at sweeter notes is what's going to be imparted out of that barrel. And then once you get to closer to 10 years, that's when you might start to pick up some really long ester chains, and you're going to get fruits, cinnamons, cloves, earthy tones. But if you age bourbon too long, you'll start to pick up sourness, bitterness, rancidness, very astringent notes, and we don't like that. Rye actually picks up those notes a little bit quicker. But for some reason, if you continue to age rye, a lot of times it kind of smooths itself back out, which bourbon will not. Really, once bourbon's gone bad, you can't ever doctor it. But for rye, you can kind of, you're right, you can kind of leave them in barrels sometimes, and they'll do some miraculous things. And I'm a rye whiskey fan first and foremost, so I've been playing around. We've got some 10-year-old rye right now that turned out to be excellent.
I think, it's pretty amazing when you take grains and then yeast, and you put it all together. Like, they just kind of... I know there's, like, obviously there's obviously, you're manufacturing a product, right? But at the same time, it's like this production, this distillation and aging has been around for a very long time. And just taking grain and wood and time, you know, it's a really... Like you said, it's kind of miraculous, you know, just like what happens naturally, and sometimes a controlled environment. But it's a pretty cool thing to see, kind of just seeing what happens, you know. A lot of times it's sitting around and waiting to see what comes from these different whiskeys and what comes from the different grains and you know, even where it is in the rickhouse and like how it gets moved around, like what the seasons were like. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's the best part of the job when you're at the distillery is, they kind of become, for us, like it's our, you're watching kids grow up. You never know how they're going to turn out.
Would you
just hoping you've done enough for them to be halfway decent.
Yeah. Would you say it's wild?
Yeah. but to see different ages, different proofs, different flavor profiles, from barrels, even from the same floor, that's the best part of the job. And it doesn't always turn out great.
Sure.
You know, for as many times as we come out with something like Master's Keep Decades, there's probably a dozen things that we've tried that have failed.
Sure.
But that's the fun part. And Mother Nature does most of our work for us. So we just get to sit back and wait 10, 12 years and then drink some really good whiskey. We've got it made.
Yeah, man. That sounds great. I mean, that's just... It's something I've always loved about, like, not only whiskey, but just like the distillation and aging process in general for it, like amongst many different types of spirits. It's just and wine and beer, you know, it's like it's all like in the same kind of family of sorts, extended family. It's just you kind of never know what you're going to get. And it's a roll of the dice. And a lot of times, you know, that's life, you know, and you get to come out with hopefully, you know, knock on wood, you get to knock on wood, like we're talking about barrel aging. hopefully you come out on the other side with some really good product and you know, some good experience and knowledge about how to actually do it. And I think you guys got it down.
No, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to try
that. Now you got to get Nate to bring you down to the distillery.
Well, yeah, Nate.
Hey.
What's your expense account looking like these days? Man.
Let's talk to brand team.
All right, man. I sell lots of wild turkey, just saying. My bar has...
Am I bringing you or Kevin?
I write the checks, bro.
You it is.
But yeah, I would love to come down. It's been probably about, almost a decade since I've been down to Kentucky at all. And I know I'm going down there for Camp Run Amok at the end of May. And definitely maybe I could swing by, just kind of like make it all into one trip, swing down there.
You should, yeah. We'll be there that whole time. We host one of the days for Camp Run Amok every year. It's
cool.
A blast. And it's kind of unusual. I've kind of started to take more of a role in the distillery. I've been traveling, doing a lot of the brand work.
Cool.
And we've got to be the only distillery ever that right now in the distillery, it's me, Dad, and my granddad, all three involved.
Wow.
You know, trying to put our fingerprints on the stuff that's going on. So it's an exciting time at Wild Turkey.
Three generations. That's pretty cool. You should find a 30-year-old barrel and do a 10, a 20, and a 30 decades. I'd be probably, you probably don't have a 30-year-old.
My granddad's mad when we put out 15 years old. He might kill me if we put out a 30.
Well, you don't want to double down on that then.
No.
Cool, man. Well, dude, it's been great talking to you. Well, we'll see you down in Kentucky as soon as we can.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks,
Bruce.
See you
soon, Nate.
All right.
See ya. So you touched on one of the things that I think is just like super unique and cool to this distillery. So Bruce's granddad is Jimmy and his father is Eddie. Yeah. And Jimmy started at the distillery in 1954. He became the master distiller. But the guy that he learned distilling from was the guy who was the master distiller before Prohibition, who started in the late 1800s. So, you know, for 100-some years, it's been like three people that have been in charge of overseeing how this whiskey is produced, and they have not changed much. And it's just like this kind of like beautiful and unique continuity to this brand that, to my mind, is just, you know, a classic American product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a lot of brands in any industry can say that for over 100-some years, it's been three people who've made sure that it is up to their standards and consistent. It's cool.
I think that's, you know, going back to the reasons why you and I like, you know, Gibson guitars and Wild Turkey whiskeys, because we really appreciate the continuity and like the classicism of certain things, you know, old cars and you know,
yeah, man.
And to me, it's like whenever I'm drinking like a glass of Wild Turkey, it's like I feel like I'm a part of that, you know, in a weird way, you know.
Yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
It makes me feel like I'm actually doing good by myself by like supporting, you know, and like enjoying those kinds of brands, not just whiskey brands, but like all right, I'm keeping this alive.
Totally.
And like it's so cool. Like, and that was really great to have him on the phone, man.
It's been cool, so much fun getting to know Bruce. I mean, I've been such a fan of the distillery, obviously, and since I've been working with Campari for Campari in this capacity, I mean, like Jimmy and Eddie and Bruce are super accessible, and I've been down to the distillery four times in the last year, and it's just phenomenal to roll up and
Know where like the staff bathroom is.
I don't know where the staff bathroom is, but like rolling up to Rick House A,
yeah,
and it's like I think the only Rick House that has like a front porch, and it's on a bluff overlooking a river, and Eddie Russell's just standing there waiting for you to show up, and like that's such a good feeling,
yeah.
Like I say, they're very accessible, and to be able to talk with them about brands, and sometimes they confirm some of the things that you think about bourbon. Sometimes they sort of challenge what you think.
It's kind of like when you have a lyric in your head from a song that you're like, oh man, that was a pretty cool lyric, man. And then you find out what the actual lyric was, and you're like, your mind's blown. You're like, ah,
yeah. Oh, shit. I guess to that point, so you're going down to Camp Run Amok,
yeah,
which is awesome. Just for any bartenders listening, Wild Turkey Behind the Barrel is something that we do every year, and it is something that we wish we could accommodate more bartenders than we can, but we accommodate as many as we can. And go ahead and get online and Google Wild Turkey Behind the Barrel. It's an application process, and it's done blind. So, if you work at a bar in a small town, but your application's amazing, we don't know what bar you're coming from. You're on equal footing with people from big name bars in New York City and San Francisco and wherever else. But it's an application process. I think you have to get yourself to and from Louisville. And we're going to bring you out to the distillery for, I believe it's 3 nights. There's a summer session and a fall session. And, essentially you're going to be kind of glamping in tent cabins with a full-size bed. You're going to be comfortable. You're going to be eating barbecue, drinking bourbon, and you might even be shooting some guns. I think you're skeet shooting with Jimmy and Eddie Russell. 3 days, please apply. It's kind of a once in a lifetime thing, and I've personally had so much fun every time I've gone down to the distillery, and this sounds even better because you're shooting guns and drinking bourbon and eating barbecue with Jimmy and Eddie for 3 days straight. So yeah, please apply.
That's like a once in a lifetimer.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is there like a, where could you find the application?
I couldn't tell you the website just off the top of my head, but if you Google Wild Turkey behind the barrel. Yeah. It'll take you there.
Cool. Yeah. I think there's actually a Facebook page for it that I saw recently. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Hey man, what's coming up soon is, you and I, we're both bartenders in heart, we should be talking about this. We haven't even touched on this yet, although we have talked a lot about bourbon. Man, the Kentucky Derby's coming up in a few weeks.
Yep.
Do you like mint juleps?
I do like mint juleps. I was drinking a delicious Russell's Reserve mint julep at Nomad yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever messed around? I mean, I'm sure you have. You've worked at pretty much every amazing bar ever. But
thanks, man. Except for
Grand Army.
We'll see how this Campari gig works.
Do you have like a preference on a mint julep or any like classic variation, like julep or anything?
So this is kind of a fun story. I love a classic mint julep.
Yeah,
obviously. Last year I sponsored helped out with a Derby Day celebration and kind of did a version that I at least thought was pretty unique and thought that I had kind of come up with it. It was...
like you cracked the code?
Yeah, like kind of a julep with Appleton Estate rum and Chenar and... crushed ice mint, etc. And then I was kind of going back through some of my old notes And Kenta Goto had done the Amaro Julep at Pegu Club probably 10, 11 years ago. And it was essentially that. I think maybe he had one more Amaro dashed in there as well.
I remember.
But just a wonderful variation on a mint julep.
Cool. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the prescription julep.
What's in that one? Remind me.
It's like it's split between whiskey and cognac.
Nice.
You know, because then you get like, you know, I always feel like with cognac you get like some kind of chocolatey notes and then like mint and chocolate together and they make a lot of sense. I mean, like, you know, it's funny actually. I think back in our days when we were working at Primeats together. Was Jimmy Hand, or not Jimmy Hand, well, he was definitely not working there, but Jim Kearns from Slowly Surely, was he working there at the same time?
So.
I think he came in right after you did.
I think Jim and Thomas both came in right after I left.
Okay.
I think I crossed paths with Jim, and then Thomas was just after me. Yeah. But a hell of a crew at Primeats, man. Just some of the best in the industry made their way through that place.
Yeah, but I can't remember if it was you and I or like Jim Kearns and I talking about like you know what, man? Everyone's on this whole like a lot of customers like not too sweet. It's like you know what? We had this conversation. We're like, you know what? I put a lot of bitter things in drinks, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I kind of like things that are like, I mean, it's got to be a little sweet because like it has to have some sort of body from sweetness, you know, obviously to make it balanced out. But
in my experience, the people that say they want something that's not too sweet are the people that actually kind of want something sweet. They just don't want to be known as people that want something that's kind of sweet.
That's true. That's true.
Can I pour you one more whiskey? I don't know how much more time we've got, but...
Dude, we got a few minutes.
All right.
Plus, I have to finish this decade.
So,
which is delicious, by the way.
This is the Russell's Reserve single barrel rye. And I've often described this as just kind of like my deathbed rye whiskey. Like, I've already told you that when I tasted 101 rye for the first time, I just felt like this was what I wanted rye to taste like. And this is that and to the nth degree. So the Russell's Reserve single barrel rye whiskey is bottled at 104 proof and it is not chill filtered. We're off the record here, right?
Yeah.
So when I was talking to Eddie, he said that he won't go younger on the single barrel versions than the straight ahead Russell's Reserve, which is bottled at, Christ, 6 years.
Got a lot of numbers to remember.
It's bottled at 6 years, the Russell's Reserve rye. For the single barrel, he kind of indicated that we're going through some slightly older barrels. I guess I won't go on the record for how old I think this barrel is, but this is the Russell's Reserve single barrel rye that's on the shelf right now.
It's like that. That's a pretty dark whiskey, so it must have spent quite a bit of time.
Yeah,
yeah. It looks amazing. Thank you. This is that silent moment where the listeners are like, "What's happening? Are they drinking or smelling? Are they dreaming?" Actually, it's kind of funny because I can hear
Paul Simon or Paul McCartney,
Band on the Run's playing in Roberta's right now. I'm like, this is perfect. It's like a perfect moment.
Yeah, man.
We're sharing a perfect moment.
This is great, man.
Oh, man. This is the people sitting at table 42 right on the other side of the window of the station are singing along to this Paul McCartney song. It's Wings,
should.
Actually, yeah. Right? Is this Paul McCartney or Wings? It is. It's Wings.
It's Wings.
Thank you. This is Like, I don't mind the radio silence because this is this really whiskey's good. That good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave. We'll get you one in a second.
Oh, thanks.
Hop in here, Dave.
Yeah.
Right in.
Come on in for a sec. Bring your own glass. Or you can just drink straight from the bottle.
No, I need this for samples.
He's going to get it. There he goes. I actually just tasted it. I've been just smelling it and listening to Paul McCartney for the last, like, 2 minutes. Man, that's good.
Yeah.
This is... How many years do you think it is? I mean, like, just... Okay. Like, your speculation of it.
Because my speculation, and based on conversations I've had with various people, I'm guessing this is around an 8-year-old barrel. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would have guessed more.
But also, I mean, you know, we've got some really good barrels kicking around in our rick houses. So we're going through some killer juice right now.
Cheers.
Good job doing it right by the microphone so we get the sound effects, too.
Of course.
Cheers, guys.
Well, because our producer's in the studio, so he can't hit all the Foley buttons.
Yeah.
But you better cue up an explosion sound. Well, my mind's blown by this. Also, you know what? I've known you for a long time, and you're one of my brothers, and I love you, and it's great having you in the studio today, and it was really great to have in... Bruce on the show and like tasting some of these whiskeys, but it's really exciting to see, you know, with the new Master's Keep, like just like seeing the kind of like modern projection of what's happening, the trajectory rather of what's happening with a brand that I've always loved, you know, and that you've always loved, we've always loved. So I'm really excited to taste the new one when it comes out. But also I'm excited to go down to the distillery. And I would obviously let everyone know that it's a really cool distillery. It's been 8 years since I've... 8 or maybe 9 years since I've been down there to that distillery. It's really cool. It's a great tour. Maybe if you can like handshake someone a 20, you can get a private tour. I don't know. Nate... Nate's not saying that. I'm saying that, so you're not in trouble, right?
Thanks, man. You know, I forget exactly when it went up, but I mean, since Wild Turkey's been a part of Campari, we've built like a whole new visitor center, and it's really a great trip. And you know, we do tours of the rick houses for people who come by. And Jimmy's not always there, but Jimmy is very often hanging out in the gift shop on a stool and kind of flirting with the ladies and shaking hands and kissing babies. So, you know, it's pretty unique. And
it's like a living country song.
It really is, man. So I just encourage anybody to get down to Wild Turkey. It's, you know, an hour outside of Louisville. It's a totally doable day hike. And there are some other great venerable bourbon distilleries that are right nearby if you want to make a day of it. So get down to Wild Turkey and do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Well, Nate, thanks so much for coming on the show. Like I said, man, you're my brother. I love you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for coming on.
Love you, too.
Dude, you know... I would, as often as you can, I would just love to have you as a repeat guest, man. It's always great talking with you. We can talk about rock and roll. Let's talk about
guitars.
Man. Yeah, we can talk. Next time, we'll just talk about cigars and guitars, man.
I love it.
Cool. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in to Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. Go to our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Click on the beating heart to please donate to our little station. And I want to say thanks again to Grippin' Campari and Wild Turkey and Bruce Russell for being on the show today. Thanks for hanging out on that phone call. That was really fun. And until next week, cheers.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.